Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Hebrews chapter 5, we were talking about the importance and the blessing of being obedient to God and being in His will. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Obedience to commands, whether they're in the Old Testament or New Testament, is something out of love for God. And His commandments, we find in 1 John, are not grievous. They're only grievous to a person who wants to walk in the flesh, not in the Spirit. But if you're wanting to walk in the Spirit, then the commands of God will never, never, never seem grievous. You don't do this, you don't do that. It's not grievous. It's a blessing. And too many have too much of the world and the flesh to understand that. Now, as we continue to look here, gifts, as we've said, is that which is given as an expression of honor to and for God. Now, we see the church ordains missionaries, preachers, deacons. What are those? Gifts to God. Gifts of people He's given us, and gifts we give back to Him for the service of Almighty. But what about our families, our means, and our bodies? You remember Hannah? God gave her Samuel, her firstborn. He had not promised that He was going to give her any more after that, but once He gave Samuel to her, her promise was that she would give him back to the Lord. And she did not go back on her promise. And she did have more after Samuel. More babies, but she had no guarantee that there'd be any more. God gave her, and she gave back unto God. But my friend, you cannot outgive the Lord. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ took on a body that He might do for men what men simply could not do for themselves. That is, to satisfy the claims of divine justice, to satisfy God's righteousness and holiness, thereby making possible divine favor toward those who deserve nothing but divine judgment. Aren't you glad that God designed for Jesus Christ instead of Mary, instead of the Pope, or instead of this preacher to be the intercessor for your sins and for your needs, to be the intercessor before God for you, to be the one who makes your gifts acceptable unto God? So this tells us also, if you would be a priest of God, then you need to have an intercessory ministry. Now listen how 1 Peter 2:9 states it. But ye are a chosen. Now think of the word chosen in the same way we think of the word ordained is used here in this first verse of Hebrews chapter 5. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that is, a king priest, an holy nation, as we read earlier in Exodus 19:6, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And he goes on to say, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, it is God's design that we take his word to the world, that the world may know the one and only true God. Do you realize that was the reason God made Israel a holy nation? So that the whole world may come to know Christ. And instead, they failed. They kept it to themselves. They adopted a Calvinistic attitude and just said, only we are chosen. And if God wants them saved, he'll choose them and they'll somehow get it. Oh, what a shame it is that we can look back at history and see how it failed then and know that it still fails today. Now, God's design also calls for duty. And we see that in verses 2 and 3. So let's read there, first of all, in verse 2. He says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? Now, the duty includes having a compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. And my friend, as priest of God, it is our duty as well. Now, the word compassion, as we sit there in verse 2, who can have compassion, has the idea of to suffer with, to treat with moderation, mildness, meekness, or to pardon. Someone defined compassion this way, and I love their definition. But they said, compassion is your pain in my heart. Now, can't you see that on the cross? Jesus, our pain in his heart. And we've seen it many times since in answered prayer. Prayer answered when we poured out our heart to God. Psalm 62, verse 8 says it this way, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think about it. And that is something to think about. People pay $100 an hour for some man with some letters after his name to listen to them about their problems. When you can go to the Almighty God, the all-knowing one, the all-powerful one who can do something about it, and it doesn't cost you a penny. And all you have to do is follow what he says in his word, his counsel. Yes, he is so full of compassion. And his compassion on the ignorant. Now, ignorant is also an interesting word here. It is defined as to err, to commit fault arising from a want of discernment or a lack of discernment. The idea is that the conduct is wrong, but may not be regarded as deliberately sinning against God. Let me give you an example. Here are a couple teenagers. One is raised in a Christian home. He's a rebellious teenager. He drinks. Now, he knows it's wrong, but he does it anyway. Well, what is that? That is presumptuous sin. But there is one who is raised in a home, let's just say in Europe. Their family drank wine with their meals and served it with no thought of right or wrong. He drinks it, and he thinks nothing of it. Now, a priest must be moderate and tender toward the ignorant. In this society in which we live today, there is an anything-goes attitude. Things that were called sin just a few years ago, now people laugh when you say, well, that's sin. I mean, it was less than 100 years ago that alcohol was pretty well outlawed. And now they think it's funny that anybody would think that you shouldn't drink, at least socially. There are even some now fundamental colleges trying to write books and say, well, it's not really wrong to social drink. Well, my friend, wine is still a mocker, strong drink is still raging, and whosoever's deceived thereby is still not wise. And that passage doesn't say that wine is a mocker if you get drunk on it. Strong drink is raging if you get drunk on it. Doesn't say that. It just talks about wine and strong drink itself. And so if you're deceived by that, you're going to tell yourself it's all right. As long as I'm moderate, it's okay. You're wrong. But you see, many times people are ignorant. They don't know things are sin. And that's why it's so necessary that we preach the Word. And we preach from the Word God's holiness. And we're able to show, yes, man is in sin. The Old Testament law showed that all have sinned. The Old Testament law didn't save anybody. It showed them they needed a Savior. Now, the word here is ignorant, is here to teach us that there are things of which we are ignorant that are sinful and defiling. You see, my friend, God sees evil where men do not. His test of purity is much more strict than ours. And we must remember, He is the judge. Now, some people, they like to think in terms of partial surrender. And my friend, that hurts because it prevents peace. It prevents the total joy and reward that the Lord would have for you. It's kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, they gave a large portion of what they sold the land for. But they lied and said, oh, that was the total amount, kept back part from themselves. And God struck them dead for the way they had corrupted this thing of giving. And so, again, God's purity, His test, is so much more strict than ours, and He is the judge. Now, notice also the compassion on those who are out of the way. Now, the way of righteousness, holiness, and godly obedience, I believe, is what we're talking about here, as them that are out of the way, here in Hebrews 5, verse 12. This compassion seeks to restore people. Discipline should always, always, always be administered in love. Our purpose in discipline is not to get people disciplined. Our purpose is to bring people back to repentance. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all
that are in Christ Jesus.